Hi, and welcome to Bad Wedding Behead, a podcast where two best friends drink and discuss which characters they want to send to the bedroom, to the altar, or to the gallows. My name is Meg.
And I'm Carla. Each week, we select three characters from a movie, show, or book, and argue whether they deserve a ring, a fling, or murder, while discussing what we like or don't about each.
It's beginning to look a lot like Princess. Margaret won't switch back. She's enjoying the nice hot guy, so Hotta cannot ask why she won't go back home.
That's it. That's the whole plot.
That's yes. That I just basically told you the whole movie. Well, it's been nice talking to you
see
today.
You guys. It was good. How they made three movies of The Princess Switch is frankly beyond me. One was
they
a stretch.
Only needed to do one.
One was a stretch of credulity, right?
Yes.
But then they do it twice more. And everyone's like, and it's not like, I'm sorry, at this point, it's like, oh, yeah, it's the thing. Like, I want one where they do the switch and nobody believes it. But yes. They all, like, let them believe, think that they believe it. And then, like, the whole movie, we just see everyone shit-talking these jerks who keep trying to deceive everybody around them that loves them.
They're just, everybody's just rolling their eyes behind their backs like, here we go again.
Oh, sure.
I'm so surprised.
Stacey.
Margaret.
And whatever the third one is. Like, okay, what is with these genetics? What is with these genetics?
There was this one family member with incredibly strong sperm.
Right. Or eggs. We don't know.
Or eggs. That could be. Could be the eggs. But all I have to say is that there was no need for a third.
There's no need for
you know identical no like no need
oh,
for
person.
Like, a third yes the two women that was enough
like again so anyway we're talking about The Princess Switch in case you weren't sure
song didn't give it away
The Princess Switch is starring Vanessa Hudgens as Stacey DeNovo and Margaret, Delacroix or the Duchess of...
Delacourt.
Margaret Delacourt.
Something like that.
And Sam Palladio as Prince Edward. And that's all we're really going to hear so much about Edward because we're not talking and we're not playing with him today.
No.
And it's also starring Nick Sager, who plays Kevin, who we are talking about today, the hot best friend. Because, of course, like...
Of I mean, course. Honestly.
And before we get too into it, I am Meg.
And I'm Carla. And you're listening to Bed Wedder Behead Podcast.
We're two
on
best
this
friends.
Christmas week. No. On this Christmas week.
Yes.
Is it Christmas week? I don't know. It's the week before Christmas week.
It is Christmas time. It's Christmas week. Christmas is 1 week from today when we are recording.
Uh-huh. Okay. So it's... Yeah, fine. It's in the Christmas time area. Welcome to your Hanukkah podcast of Bed, Wedder, Behead.
Is it Hanukkah yet?
Tomorrow night.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay, we're off
so
the rails.
You have to listen to us eight times.
Eight times. Oh my God. Listen to eight Bed, Wedder, Behead podcast episodes for the next eight nights.
You're welcome.
I watched a Christmas movie today that actually had a lot of Hanukkah in it.
Really?
Yeah, because I was wrapping Christmas gifts and I watched like cheesy Hallmark Christmas movies while I do that. It's my thing. It's my thing. You know, it's so unique. Like
nobody else on the planet does that, Meg.
Not
like,
very many
how
people.
How are you so quirky?
I know. Now I'm so like I'm such a mess. Not very many people drink wine and watch Christmas movies while they wrap Christmas presents.
Oh, it's so weird. Like, I've never heard of anybody do that. You're like a total scientific and social anomaly.
I'm not a basic bitch at all. Anyways, I was watching and there was one with Matt Cullen and I was like, oh, cute John Winchester.
Baby John, before there was an official new Baby John.
Yeah, and I watched it and it was like the holiday or the Christmas date or something like that, or the holiday date. And, you know, it's the whole she gets broken up with, she... like meets this actor and she doesn't hire him. Like, this isn't a gigolo situation, but he is trying to get small town vibes for a role that he's auditioning for. And she happens to live, or to her parents live in a small town. What a coincidence.
My gosh. Who could have seen that coming?
He agrees to go home with her as her boyfriend who just broke up with her and who has been nicknamed quote unquote Mr. Christmas. But then it turns out this is his first Christmas ever because he's Jewish.
Oh my gosh.
But it's adorable because her family is like, oh, you're no wonder you're so bad at Christmas stuff. Like, not really, but he is. Like, he's like decorating the tree without them.
Oh, no.
He's like, I thought I would just get a head start. This movie is actually adorable. But then they're like, oh, you're Jewish. And it's really sweet. Like, her mom goes out and buys menorah and they get all this Hanukkah stuff.
Aww.
And they really dig into Hanukkah and start celebrating Hanukkah with him as well as Christmas. And I was like, that's so sweet.
That's adorable.
You know, and they do the dreidel. They do all of the food. It's very sweet. And the dad's like, whoa, we got Christmas in one room and Hanukkah in the other room. And I'm like, oh my God. And then they find out he's been lying to them the whole time.
And they were probably super stoked about that. We spent all this money in a menorah. What are we going to do with this menorah next year?
No, they're just like, he's still so nice. He's such a nice man. Anyway, we're not talking about that movie either. But oh, it's on Hulu. I think it's called The Holiday Date. If you just search for Matt Cohen, it is a pretty cute one. And I enjoyed there being some Hanukkah stuff in there as well, because Christmas isn't the only holiday.
You wouldn't know it to look at entertainment, but yeah,
there's a bunch. But no, we're talking about The Princess Switch for the eighth time. I'm going to tell you that we're talking about The Princess Switch. We're going to actually be here every day for 8 days talking about The Princess Switch. Starting tomorrow.
Starting tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow after sundown, we will begin our marathon.
Princess Switch, just the same three movies.
Well, I mean,
twice and then two movies three times.
Considering the fact that my son, when this movie first came out, that's all he would watch. Like, he doesn't like movies. I think I've said this like a bazillion times, but he doesn't like watching movies. Mm-hmm. Just anything with conflict really bothers him. And this movie is like so pleasant and easy to watch. So he watched this movie incessantly for like a year, and now I'm voluntarily watching it and making Meg watch it. So
I've watched it. My kid loved that movie.
Yeah, I know, but I'm making you watch it for our recording. So like, that's a whole other level of
there is that. Okay, so speaking of getting through things, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. Wow.
Speaking of Christmas spirit, what is your Christmas spirit?
My tonight. Christmas spirit tonight is vodka with Bailey's and Kahlua. It is, ooh, a very spirited drink.
I was going to say, is there any mixer in there at all? She's like, yeah, Bailey's.
Oh, well, I did use plant-based milk for the protein so that my very, very alcoholic drink has a lot of protein in it, because it's a healthy drink. It's a health drink, yes.
Perfect.
This is how I'm staying in shape through the holidays. How are you keeping your spirits in shape?
Well, last week we talked about my advent calendar. So I'm actually drinking one of my advent wines. And I just showed Carlo the bottle. And it's a 3.75, I want to say, milliliter bottle. It's half a bottle of wine every single day for 24 days. It's called Here Kitty Kitty. It's Trebbiano. It's an Italian wine. I have no idea if I'm going to like it or not. I haven't tried it. And it's a white wine, which means it's really hit or miss. It could be really sweet.
Yeah.
I'm scared. But that's what I'm drinking. Living my best life. All right.
Very excited.
We're going to start talking about Kevin.
So let's talk about Kevin.
There's something about Kevin.
There's something about Kevin, indeed. There's something like his face and his body.
And the dimple.
But aside from that, yes.
So Kevin is played by Nick Sager. And so let's hear your thoughts about the only person who didn't like lie to everybody.
Yes. Yeah. So we know that he is very good at friendship and being good at being buff and at looking and sounding a lot like Obama.
Yes. He also has a very cute kid.
Yes. Yes, he does. And he seems to be like such a good dad. But I think that the coolest thing about him is that he is just so easygoing, but he's also focused. Like, you mm-hmm. can't, you know, help run a bakery. You can't help run a business. And oh my gosh, the face that you're making as you're about to drink this thing.
No, that's not bad. I'll drink it.
You just, the meme of the face.
I was so nervous.
Like, I don't know about this. Oh, it's not so bad.
I was so nervous. I didn't mean to like distract you, but I figured I should try this wine.
No, it's totally fine because this leads me right back into Kevin being distractingly hot. And that it's totally okay because, okay, he, you know.
It's okay to be distractingly hot.
Yes.
Very generous. Absolutely.
I know, right?
Most of them are like, you know what? Don't be hot. Just be middling. Just yes, really be okay. In.
Like, you're trying too hard if you're that hot.
Just be like Homer Simpson going back into the hedgerow.
Yes.
Just disappear.
I really like him. He's such a good friend. Like, he really cares about Stacy, and he's very supportive mm-hmm. to the point where he knows that she would never enter that competition herself. She would never put herself out there like that. So he does this. He's like, you know what? I'm just going to submit you for this, and you're going to mm-hmm. do great, and you're going to enjoy yourself because you need this. You know, she had just gone through this rough breakup. And he knew that even if she didn't realize that she needed to get away and to, you know, step outside of her comfort zone, she did need this. So mm-hmm. he and his daughter conspire to send them to Belgravia or whatever this country
is. Belgravia? This, like, weirdly European with a British colonial European country somewhere. Because,
yeah.
You know, the exotic accent, the foreign, you know, the American, Americanized foreign accent, which is just British.
I don't know English, what you mean.
Just English accent all the time.
it's hilarious. It's just hilarious. Like, it's so...
Well, because Americans can't understand a French accent.
No, I guess not. I guess it's not just not a thing that they're equipped to handle. But
it's right next to Genovia.
Yes, it's right next to Genovia.
Belgravia and Genovia are actually, I don't know if you knew this, actually at war for hundreds of years. There's a terrible border conflict. Millions have died.
No wonder you would never catch Anne Hathaway in these Princess Switch movies, because they're sworn enemies.
They are sworn enemies. And she's actually making, I think they're going to be making a third Princess Diaries movie.
See, that one would probably be okay.
I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Unlike the third. Okay. We don't need to talk about the other two Princess Switch movies. Like, the only one that matters is the first one anyway. But that's, yeah, he's lovely. He's so cute and so sweet. So supportive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I've watched this movie so many times, whether I wanted to or not, I ended up dreaming about this movie. Can you not? I have had several dreams about this movie. Mm-hmm. And the one that sticks out most in my mind, to the point where I was rewatching the movie some time back, and I was like, what happened to this scene? Where, right, that didn't actually happen. But even in my dreams, Kevin is just very nice and very caring and so warm. Real. Exactly. Like, what happened to the scene when they're in that shop with the cocoa and then the lady comes and like yells at everybody? Oh,
that's just my mind. That was the Carla cut.
See, my sequel would have been much better.
That's exciting. I'm sure it would have been.
But yeah, I mean, like, there's not a whole lot to say about him because it's all positive. And you know how I like to basically tear into people who are terrible. But he's not terrible. He's not only not terrible, he's pretty wonderful.
Yeah, I think it's great. I love the fact that he is actually just straight up Stacy's friend. There's no weird tension. It's not like he's been secretly in love with Stacy all of these years and she right. just sees him as a friend. He's a good dad. He's pretty gullible.
Like, right, like, Stacy, why are you suddenly hitting on me out of nowhere? Yeah,
right? Like, oh, Stacy, you don't, like, I swear to God, I can't believe you didn't ask her all the time. Did you hit your head somewhere? And just, like, these women did not do very much research. Like, suddenly they're able to knock out the accents like a dream.
Right, like, no big deal. Right. But they couldn't be bothered to say, hey, listen.
This is, you know, my secret handshake. Secret handshake I have with my best friend's child. Oh, and also, there's a whole slew of protocols that you're supposed to know.
Right.
But Kevin is still like, okay, Kevin is very handsome. He is very nice. He's supportive. When he signs her up for the baking competition or whatever, it could very easily seem underhanded, but it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel like he's trying to do anything other than push someone who sometimes needs a push. And he knows her well enough to know that the push would be appreciated, not make her upset. Basically. He knows her well enough to know her favorite movie. He knows her Christmas movie. He knows, like, just the Christmas Prince, which is a whole other
I know.
Netflix is really hitting these franchises, man. I want all of these princess movies to take place in the same universe, and they're all just at war together, and the only time anyone is happy is at Christmas. Like, every country in
that's when everybody has a temporary armistice.
Yes, like, yes, just like okay. World War just One.
Yes, just exactly.
Christmas, you know, the Christmas Prince, a princess for Christmas, a prince for Christmas, the princess switch. I'm sure there are so many more, but. Anyway, I want them all to just be like viciously at war.
The streets run red.
With blood every day but Christmas, when they run red with festivities and joy. It's one day they all get together in the same castle.
We're quite alike, all of us. All right, let's go back to killing each other. I don't like you anymore.
It's really strange how many of these princes and princesses are married to commoners who, like, own tree farms. Or bakeries or architects. Wow.
It's wild, man. Like, okay, how does that happen?
This is a preview of when Carl and I are going to be on It's a Phantom Thing Pod talking about Christmas movies, to be honest. But yeah, so there's not a lot to say about him, and it's too bad, but I do think he's a good dad. He's a good friend. He is a good sous chef. He can bake with the best of them, I guess, but there's not a whole lot there for him. Like, there's not any, you don't really know him. Like, right. He's just the handsome, but he's the handsome best friend, and he's inoffensive, and he's designed to make someone fall in love with him. But I also loved that. I really liked his friendship with Stacy. I really liked how frustrating it was for Margaret when she's like, why can't I get some? And he's just like, you're my friend. This is kind of weird. And then he's like, oh, wait a minute. This is weird in a good way.
It's good weird. Yeah, because he even talks about it with Olivia, his daughter, mm-hmm. when she says, you know, like, so you've never thought of that
manipulative
Stacy.
Little girl.
Right. Oh my gosh.
I want a new mom for Christmas.
Hey, everybody, come take a picture together. No big deal, Liv. Okay. But she asks him the question that, you know, probably a lot of people have asked him, you know, like, how come you guys aren't a couple? You get along so great. You really compliment each other really well. And he says, you know, like, it's never happened. And it's, you know, if it hasn't happened by now, then it's very unlikely for it to happen. And then along comes Margaret.
Yeah.
Who looks exactly like Stacy, but is completely different from her, which is the whole point of this movie. It's just like any, like, Parent Trap or, you know, any
fish out of water
or any movie about twins that is not The Shining. That's like the probably shinning. The one exception, The Shining. Yes.
Anyway, yeah, but he's nice, and I do think Nick Sager. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I had a little hiccup for a second, did a really good job kind of balancing the chemistry situation, because the chemistry between him and Stacy and the chemistry between him and Margaret are different, and that's pretty much on Nick, I think, in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
Or on Kevin, sorry. In a lot of ways. But yeah, I mean, he's hot. He's tall.
Like, undeniably.
He's got that dimples, and it's, you know, and he is surprised. He is much more forgiving and accepting than I ever would be to find out that my best friend was deceiving me. And this person that I thought that I knew was not who they said they were.
Yeah.
I would be much less forgiving about that. And you're going to hear about that.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about Margaret.
So go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's fine. All right. She's played by Vanessa Hudgens. We already talked about it.
Yeah. So Margaret, she is a schemer. Like, we were talking about Liv. Liv's probably going to, you know, train under Margaret at Margaret's school of scheming little hoes. And
scheming little hoes. Damn. Hey, Liv, I believe in Liv. She uses her power for good.
Yeah. But okay. I mean, Margaret.
Scheming hoes. I can't believe you just called a 10-year-old a hoe.
I did. That's amazing. I was calling Margaret that. No, not exactly. Like, when she graduates, when she's 25, and she's like, she has gone through all of the schooling and has gotten all of the diplomas, she will be.
She herself has found a doppelganger. That'll be the Princess Switch 4.
Oh, God. No, Liv, thank you.
Liv's an adult and finds out a princess that looks just like her. In another small, vaguely European town with British English accents, at war with Genovia.
Genovia, yes, naturally.
Belgravia.
It doesn't count if they're not at war with Genovia. But she's also really pretty. I know.
All the countries have to end with Ia.
Yes.
Like,
that's exactly.
We're never like, I wonder if there's like so we're just gonna bullshit no,
I
about.
I seriously wonder if there's like a random princess country name generator.
I'm sure there is
online somewhere.
I'm sure
everything
there
else
is.
In IA.
My country.
Yes, yeah. you are a princess in a rom com. What is your country's name? But anyway.
Princess.
She's also
Princess Ho or Duchess Margaret.
Duchess
the Ho.
Margaret the Ho. Is really inconsiderate. She's so inconsiderate of other people's time and their lives. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, it's one thing to be impulsive and to want to live in the moment. And, you know, I think it's understandable that this is her last grasp at any taste of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's very, in the beginning, she's very committed to going through with this life that has been set out for her, where it's like, well, you've been raised. Yeah, you've been raised to be a princess, to marry a prince, and then to just go live in his country and, you know, sit on the sidelines.
Send all of its people out to die on the front lines.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, so she sees an opportunity to try to live like a normal. And she's like, you know what? I want to do this. Let's go for it.
I want to be a peasant. But she,
just for a day, because it's very glamorous when you can just when you have like money and connections to fall back on.
Yeah.
So sounds she
a lot like our Coming to America episode.
Yes. It's true, though. But she the thing that really bothers me the most about her is that. She makes it so difficult for Stacy to do her this favor because she's like, okay, so it's going to be really simple. All you have to do is this. Forget to tell her about the ball or whatever that she's supposed to attend. When the prince suddenly cancels his plans to go to Spain, a real country.
Not at war with Belgravia. Not at war.
No war involved.
But clearly, these are not NATO countries.
Clearly not. But he cancels his plans And Stacy calls her in a panic, like, okay, we have to end this little experiment. And she's like, no, can do. It's going to be too hard. So bye. And like, basically hangs up on Stacy. Yeah. But like her whole excuse is like, well, there's going to be too much security. It's going to be too difficult. It's like, you look like you.
Right. Yeah. Like, you can just be you.
Yes.
Walking like, around. Up. She's yeah. already pretending to be you. Just go to your room and then she can yes. leave as yes. you.
Exactly. Like, it's really not that complicated, Margaret.
It's but infuriating. She doesn't even
try. Yeah,
but it's like, even try. I love it. So they have this big ball, and then she's like, no, it'll be after that. And I'm like, then they're getting ready for your wedding? Like, here's the thing with Margaret, right. okay? She doesn't tell Stacy anything about the royal protocols or mm-hmm. the ball or any of, like, the actual really important stuff that needs to be done. That needs to be taken care of. Then she's supposed to be getting married in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Just let Stacy work on planning that wedding because she doesn't want to do it.
Right.
She's like, I just want to be free. I want to be a poor for a little while.
Yeah. You know, like, why didn't she say, hey, just pretend that you're sick for the next 2 days?
Right. Anything. But whatever. Like, she couldn't help the fact that Stacy
to the wolves.
She couldn't help the fact that Edward suddenly was like, oh, this is an interesting person. Like, she couldn't change that, but she should have absolutely gone back home. But the thing that I find, frankly, most unforgivable for her is kissing Kevin.
Yeah.
As Stacy.
Yes. Because that really throws their friendship into upheaval yeah. for no good reason other than Margaret really wanted to kiss Kevin, which, again, he is an extremely good-looking
very
guy.
Very hot.
Very sweet,
but
and very loving.
But talk about leaving a mess again yeah. for Stacy to come back to, and then she doesn't even tell Stacy.
Yeah, oh my god!
That
right.
they kissed when they switch back. So Kevin's wanting to talk to his best friend, understandably, about the changes that are happening in their relationship, and she's blowing him off because she doesn't understand that this is actually a really important thing to him.
Right.
Because I feel like. This is going to be where our choices, I feel like, are going to be
it's
so
pretty
quick.
Straightforward. It is so straightforward.
I think it's pretty clear.
This is a Christmas gift to each other.
And it's like, yeah. but it's just, it's so frustrating. And like, she is very beautiful. She is nice and all this other stuff. But she is incredibly selfish. Mm-hmm. Then she ropes a little girl into lying with her.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah. which you just never do.
You shouldn't. You do not ever tell children to lie to their parents. That's
exactly.
not cool. That's
no.
not cool. But it's yeah. And it's all because of her. It's all like for what she wants and what she's needing. She's like, can't just be honest and say, hey, I don't think I want to marry this prince. And we mm-hmm. all understand because Edward is also very boring.
He is seriously so boring. Like when we were
he gets
trying
better.
To decide.
But he's pretty boring.
But the thing is, like, when we were trying to decide which of the, because obviously we had to talk about the women, but you know, which of the two guys, and I was like, immediately it has to be Kevin because Edward is boring as hell.
I asked before I rewatched the movie again because I have not watched it constantly for a year. but yeah, so it's really frustrating. It irritates me so much that she does this deception. For really just because she wants to, and she throws all these other people's lives in upheaval. She gets other people to lie for her. Mrs. Donatelli is the goat.
Mm-hmm.
I
yeah.
love her. I think she's amazing. I'm like, does she stay with Stacy now that Stacy's a princess? And also, I did not see Margaret curtsying to the princess Stacy.
Thank you.
Who was of higher rank. Excuse me.
Like, hello.
Belgravia is going to go to war with America if you don't. Or no, Montenegro.
With Montenegro, yes.
Maybe this was why she was so determined to marry him in the beginning, because it was a peace treaty.
Oh my God. So she threw her whole country under the bus.
Her whole country under blood. And
she ruined the peace treaty to get some D. To get some American Chicago
D. Hot Chicago D. To get that Chicago dog. Get that deep dish. But of course it all works out for her in the end, because of course it does. Like, and she catches the bouquet at the wedding and Kevin's like, oh, what are you doing on New Year's? And I'm like, oh, precious baby.
You deserve better, Kevin.
You can be a duke?
Oh my god.
But yeah, so she decides to do this kind of for her own selfish reasons. And then she gets Stacy to do it, but I feel like Stacy, and we can start talking about Stacy right after this when I talk about how Stacy does it because she's trying to do something very caring and very important to her best friend's daughter. She's like, hey, great, I can get her into this school, this ballerina school.
Yeah, ballerina school.
And it's only 2 days. And she's like, who doesn't want to pretend to be a duchess with all of the perks and privileges and none of the responsibility in Stacy's mind?
Because that's what she was promised.
Yeah.
She was told it'll be easy peasy breezy. Mm-hmm. Nothing big to do. And then you're out of there. But no, yeah, she gets saddled into all of these things. And to her credit, she really handles it super duper well. Like she manages to be to kind of fit the mold as much as she can, given what little information she has. Right. Because she sincerely does not have nearly enough information to pass for royalty. And it's only because, you know, what's her name again? Donatelli. Yeah, Miss Donatelli is right there for her.
Donatello's mother,
yes.
She has a little turtle baby.
But I didn't see any pizza, Meg. So I don't know about your headcanon. Oh, that's a good point.
Have you ever had a Belgravian pizza? You don't want it.
That's a good point. I have not.
It's just wet crust.
I mean, and any country that has heated stalls for their horses.
That's Montenegro. That's not Belgravia. Oh,
that's right. You're right. No, you're absolutely
Belgravia,
right.
Belgravia, like, fuck them
I'm
horses.
I'm confusing my very real European countries.
They're war horses. Because not only are they at war, but they're at, like, medieval war. They have all normal technology, but their wars
but
are
But their wars. Are They're very retro. Horseback and big spears. That's all
they
it
have
is.
Have pikemen and archer. This podcast is our gift to each other and to you guys.
And to you, yes. You're so welcome for this very coherent and incisive character analysis.
But yeah, so Stacy, she has a reason for doing what she is going to do, but she also is like the first one to be like, this is probably, we should stop. Because when things start to get a little too intense with Edward, like, she does try pretty hard to not cross that line because that's not fair.
And it's not her place. Mm-hmm. So she tries desperately, and like the guy is just, you know, fawning all over her because I feel like they must not have had very much contact with each other before
they met Stacy. Twice.
Okay. So they didn't have a lot of contact with each other before Stacy stepped into the picture, because he doesn't know anything about who she is. Otherwise, he would have, like, from the get-go, been like, you are, like, what is going on here? You're clearly not.
Like, even with the horseback riding thing, he's like, didn't you say you rode competitively? And she's like, right. I've never seen a horse. What's a horse?
And, like, the piano thing where it's like, oh, I thought that you were, like, basically a prodigy. And she doesn't know, basically, how to even play chopsticks.
Yeah, well, thank God, because I hate chopsticks. I think it's the stupidest fucking song. And I hate that it's always the one song everybody plays. But yeah, she's also like, I don't know. She does the same kind of deception, but it's not in the same way. She's not going to be like, spirit. Hey, Margaret, do this baking competition for me for no reason or anything like that. And she also does try her best to improve the image of the royal family. This is Meghan Markle right here in Belgravia. Outshining the royal family. But no, she goes to that orphanages. And who still has... Are orphanages still a thing? Like, I thought this was some Dickensian shit.
No, probably. Like
they have group homes in the foster system,
Yeah,
But this is Belgravia. Who knows? These are all probably orphans.
The thing is, orphanage just got a rebrand, and now they're called group homes foster homes. Like, it's not like these things went away. So
foster homes are different than orphanages. Foster home is where you go and you live with a family.
Yeah, yeah, but like,
either way, these are war orphans. These are children of war. But I can't believe that no one thought, hey, maybe we should give these kids gifts too. This lavish ball that probably costs thousands upon thousands of dollars
down
to put
the street. It's down the street because apparently everything in Belgravia is super close to every other thing.
That's because they have to stay really tight in the middle of the country because
for protection
of the battle. You don't see the walls You don't see the walls around the country, around the cities. It's a feudal state.
Yeah, so everybody walks watching everybody else's sticks. It's
just ridiculous. But like,
we created a whole fanfic about it.
A whole new, you know, it's so much more interesting though.
It honestly is.
But like, I've never understood, and I think Stacey has a point. Like, you just put out this massive fundraising thing, and it's not enough to do anything other than the bare essentials for these children.
Right,
these children who are in the most need. Like,
right. Meanwhile, the royalty lives in this huge castle.
It's time for a revolt. Princess Switch 4. Just be at her.
The revolt. the uprising. And it's just all the people banding together.
They want to annex to Genovia.
They start losing. Belgravia starts losing a lot of its soldiers to Genovia as people defect.
Yes.
And get refugee status in Genovia. And Queen,
this is just ridiculous.
Queen Anne Hathaway is like, yeah, bring it.
Mia Thermopolis is a fantastic queen.
Yeah, she will take care of these refugees.
Jesus Christ, this is ridiculous.
What, us being ridiculous? That's impossible.
No way. But yeah, it feels like her deception is
less deceptionally. Well, yeah, and the only reason she doesn't tell Kevin is because Margaret urges her not to. Because she, her first thing, I think, would have been to go and tell Kevin, hey, listen, I'm going to be out for a couple of days. You're going to be hosting this Duchess. Just FYI.
Just a heads up, bruh.
Yeah.
And she didn't even know that was why she was going to the castle.
Yeah.
She was told that she was going to do some bake-a-wee. some consulting for the wedding cake and stuff for the princess.
Right.
So she was like, this is a great job opportunity. And the princess was the Duchess was just like, just kidding. I actually want you to cut your hair, change your clothes, get my British accent, even though I'm from Montenegro. This is just all British colonies. It's all
the whole thing.
It's all the Commonwealth and they're all at war. But no. So she doesn't even get a chance to, and I think that was kind of Margaret's whole thing, was like, didn't want the press to know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Which,
like, that part is fine. Like,
let's stop pretending the premise of this movie is anything but ridiculous.
Yeah. No, it 100% is like, okay, so just two identical people. First of all, okay.
How identical are they?
The fact that Stacey's walking around barefaced, and even when they say that Margaret is camera shy, you're telling me that not a single person has seen a picture of Margaret?
Right.
There's an impending royal wedding, but nobody knows what the bride looks like? Not possible.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. In this day and age?
No.
Well, I think journalists are probably actually afraid to go into that area of the world.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody really wants to travel as a journalist in Belgravia or Montenegro because they're not known to protect journalists.
There's no freedom of the press.
No freedom of the press.
These are strict dictatorial monarchies. But yeah, if you're telling me that there's a royal wedding anywhere and people aren't all over everywhere, especially when the prince is as handsome as he is a handsome man.
Yes.
His bride is this beautiful woman, because Vanessa Hudgens is gorgeous.
Yes.
But no, there's not a single picture. There's no cameras, nothing. Not no one has ever been like, hey, you look a lot like a princess over in Europe.
The
Who's that?
They're doing like camera tests for the baking contest. And not a single member of the press there was like, you bear a striking resemblance
to the woman to who's going to be marrying into the country that this contest takes place. Right?
Like, seriously.
I like that we're just poking holes in this movie. Like, ha! Gotcha. But yeah, Stacey is, I mean, she's nice. She's cute. She's really cute with Olivia. I love the fact that she thinks Kevin is like icky, not because he's not handsome, right? But like he's her brother.
He's like a brother, yeah.
I like that relationship.
I love that. Yes. I love that. I love the relationship and how respectful but playful and sweet it is, and how they are so invested in each other's happiness that she, you know, she's taking 2 days out of her very strict prep for this baking contest to do something for his daughter.
Right.
His goddaughter.
Her goddaughter.
Her goddaughter. Yeah.
His actual daughter.
His actual daughter, her goddaughter. But they really love each other. There's a lot of love there. It's just platonic love, but there's a lot of love. And I really enjoy seeing those kinds of relationships play out. And I like you said earlier, how there wasn't that thing of like, oh, well, he's always held a candle for her.
Yeah.
And the only thing keeping him from pursuing anything is that she was in love with all these other guys. No, it was just like, it just was not happening for the two of them.
Yeah. And I love that they constantly put the kibosh on Liv trying to set them up and giving her realistic expectations of what their relationship is going to be.
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about both of them.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, because it's really easy to kind of just like, oh yeah, that would be really sweet to a kid as they're growing up wanting a parent, another parent, wanting a mother because her mother left her.
Yeah.
You know, but to be like, I'm still here for you. We are a family, but we're not going to be that kind of a family. And
yeah.
And there was, I love that there was never any like weird tension between the two of them.
Oh, absolutely. No. And there was like no jealousy.
Yeah,
between the two women over Kevin or anything, and there was no. If there's one thing to be said, that's positive for Margaret. Or I guess
Edward.
right. There's another dude in the picture. But if there's one positive thing that you can say about Margaret is that she's decisive. She knew that she wasn't right for, like, once she got out there into the real world and experienced real people, she knew that she wasn't right for this match with Edward, no matter how much the peace treaty depended on it.
No matter how many lives depended on it. She was like, you know what? No, I wanna be me. Hundreds of thousands dead. Over the breakdown of communications and relations between Montenegro and Belgravia. But you know
The Montenegro Daily.
Happy. In Chicago.
I mean, I'm sure that you also saw the front page, that classic, very spoken about front page of the Montenegro Daily, where the front page is all about the wedding. And then at the bottom, it's like hundreds of thousands dead as
6,000 more celebrates soldiers
wedding to random Chicago man. Catered by, you know, Chicago deep dish pizza.
Multi-generational war.
And Monrovian, I don't know, like, cupcake makers, who knows?
Monrovian. They cannot start making up fake European countries and no one's going to know the difference because they're all going to end in IA.
Yeah, exactly.
All of them. Okay.
All of them.
So we did shit on Margaret an awful lot. I don't think she's a bad person. I think she did bad things. But she just didn't really think in any way, shape, or form that the consequences to her actions would have any effect on anybody else. But yeah, the thing that really got me was the kissing Kevin, because he didn't know he was kissing someone other than Stacy, and talk about potentially destroying that friendship if he suddenly developed feelings for Stacy and then they switch back and he has these feelings and then all of the work And the love of that friendship kind of has, it would wither away because he'd be having feelings for someone that could probably be pretty easily transferred since they look exactly alike.
Yeah.
And that could destroy their whole friendship. And that could also throw such a huge wrench into Liv's life.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Just... Liv, life, love.
Oh, my God. No.
Liv
no.
loves life.
But yeah, it's just another example of Margaret just not thinking consequences through and just being like, it's my life. You're just, you know, an accessory.
But she's rich and beautiful, so it all worked out.
Yeah, exactly. It's fine.
It's fine. Like, he forgave her like that. He was just like, yeah, just bring those lips back to me. And I feel like he was obviously the most betrayed of all of these. Like, Edward was like, whatever, he barely even
Edward knew. Didn't even exactly he like, didn't really know her to begin with, so it didn't really matter,
right? And I thought it was sweet of him to take time off of these diplomatic relations. He even says, what are diplomatic relations when I could be spending time with my fiance? And
I'm like, this is exactly the attitude that gets him into a multi-generational war
with so many countries. It's horrifying. It's horrific.
This is why Belgravia's entire economy is mired.
Every country has an embargo against Belgravia.
This is why the baking competition is so important, because it brings them a lot of tourism.
It's trying to get some positive press.
Yeah, it's positive press and tourism dollars.
See, the war is not that bad. We have cupcakes. Jesus Christ. I don't even know where to go anymore.
Let's go to
what we're going to do, and then we can go to our guesses, and we can say our final in the next 30 seconds, because I feel like we're
it's
both
gonna be the
right.
Easiest one. And I mean, we honestly, both know. I'm just going to jump in and say that obviously, I'm beheading Margaret. She's got to go. Like, she is a terrorist, and she is just going to cause more death and destruction.
She's the reason for the war. Every generation has one that looks like her.
Probably. Again, those genes are very strong.
To all the countries.
But we actually might not... you're probably going to talk me over very simply, but I think that I would bed Kevin and wed Stacy, because as much as I love Kevin and as much as like he's perfect, we don't know a lot about him. And what we do know about Stacy is that she will do anything to help out her friend and her goddaughter. Like, to give up 2 days in the middle of a competition that is, you know, kind of a big deal, just to get this little girl, free ballet. Okay.
So this is not going to be nearly as quick and easy as I.
No, it will, because you'll talk me over. I mean, it's like I pretty much talked myself over.
Yeah, because he is supportive. He is handsome. He is a wonderful father. He is attentive. He is caring. He is forgiving. Like, come on.
No, Stacey's, I mean, like I said,
Stacy's great and all, but she long and like long story short or short story long, she could have picked up her phone and called him.
Yes, that is true.
She could have done something. Once she found out that there were actual feelings developing going on between the two of them, she could have said something to him, or she could have urged Margaret more to come clean to him.
Absolutely. Which is, again, what this is.
Why
this is
it's
going
to be so
simple.
Easy to just flip you real quick. Because I'm going to dive into and be like, yeah, I'm obviously beheading Margaret. Like,
yeah, like, duh.
Like, obviously. I don't know if you guys could tell this, but this woman is destroying nations. geez, we really put a lot on this one. And this poor Duchess's shoulders, didn't we? She's Marie Antoinette. Antoinette, except it's not all propaganda. It's reality.
It's reality. She's just clueless.
How don't you dare bring Cher into this?
I would never bring Cher Horowitz into this.
I'm marrying Kevin because I feel like that was the obvious choice. He doesn't deceive anybody. He's just a nice guy who, you know, is willing to pick up his daughter and go to another country and work for his bestie. All the things I also said about Kevin, that's why I marry Kevin. And I'm going to bed Stacy because she's attractive and there's no other place to put her, to be honest.
And okay, so what were your guesses?
I thought you would agree with me because I figured that was really the only choice.
And I fully got you correct because those are the correct choices. Mm-hmm. And like as soon as I started talking about Kevin, I was like, why did I choose this? No, this was wrong. But I, you know, being true to what I put in my notes. But yes, mm-hmm. I absolutely.
Yeah. So look at that. Look at that. We don't even have to fight. Unlike Barovia or Genovia and Belgravia and Montenero and all the other princess movies.
Yes, all of the Ea.
All of the Eas. We're not going to be at war. It's going to be a peaceful Christmas for us.
Yeah, so there'll be a peaceful transition of power from our guesses to our final decision.
Yeah, and our final decision is going to do the world a favor and behead Margaret. That will bring peace to these nations. sacrifice, man. Jesus Christ. We're marrying Kevin and we're betting Stacy. And stay tuned for the low, low price of $399. You can get boobs trading cards. It's a major announcement. But it's not actual boobs. It's just, it's me and Carla's faces.
Yes, it's just like a lot photoshopped, of selfies.
Photoshopped onto very hot bodies.
Yes.
And that are in no way reflective of what we look like in real life.
The races won't even match the bodies. We don't care.
Doesn't matter.
We're not good at Photoshop.
And the low... They're trading cards. They're trading cards. The low, low price of $3.99 at Christmas time, and they could be yours.
Tell you what, because it is almost Christmas and it's Hanukkah when this gets released, mm-hmm. we will even throw in a discount of 0.05%.
Oh, and if you can explain to us what NFTs are, you get 50% off.
No. If you can explain what NFTs are in such a way that doesn't make you look like a douchebag.
And that we can actually understand because I literally have no idea. It's just a picture, right? It's just a picture.
Like, honestly, they're not mushrooms. That's all I know. Non-fungible tokens, not mushrooms. That's all I got.
That's it. No fungus therein.
Until next year, I'm Carla.
And I'm Meg.
And we're the boobs.
Bye. I'm so sorry, and you're also very welcome. Merry Christmas to one Merry and all.
Thank you for listening to Bedwet Behead. We'd love to hear from you. We are open to suggestions for more character trios, to your feedback, and in lieu of a celebratory bottle of wine, we also accept praise and adulation. You can find us on Twitter at BedWedBeheadPod, through our Instagram, bed.wed.behead.pod, on Facebook at BedWedBeheadPod, and you can also send us an email. That's bedwedbeheadpod@gmail.com.
If you like what you hear, please leave a rating and subscribe to Bed, Wed, Behead on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pod on. And don't forget to share us on your favorite social media. Thanks. Bye.